to my level. Thank you for being here today. My name is Marilyn Baton, and I'm a research fellow at the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity at the CDC. We did a systematic review of the literature on worksite and came up with some promising practices for the prevention and control of obesity in the worksite, and that's what I'm going to talk about with you today. And I have no relationships to disclose. So my objectives for today are to go over a background of some past recommendations that have been done in worksite obesity, go over our rationale for doing promising practices, the methods we use, and then our results and our conclusions. In 2003, the Community Guide, the Task Force on Community Preventive Services, did an obesity worksite review, and that recommendation primarily said that worksite programs combining both nutrition and physical activity are recommended to control overweight and obesity. The Community Guide in 2007 did an update to that obesity worksite review and pretty much found those same findings, that combining these nutrition and physical activity components in a worksite program result in a weight loss for their employees. And knowing that this is a broad definition that companies and employers have a difficulty in operationalizing on, our division, the Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity, decided to work with the Community Guide on a complementary review of the literature. We decided to take a second look at those interventions from this 2007 obesity worksite review update to see if we could identify something there and identify them as promising. So our systematic review was of the gray literature. We looked at academic dissertations, evaluation studies, and primarily studies that do not meet the strict criteria of the guide. The Community Guide excluded before and after studies and did not take studies that were less than 6 months in duration in their 2007 obesity worksite review. Our promising practices review included before and after studies, and we did not have a limit on duration of those interventions. And so I don't want to spend too much time on this slide, but promising practice is a term that has been used by many different organizations and have many different meanings. And I've heard promising practices called best practices. I've heard them called promising practices or practical strategies. And I just wanted to point out that our worksite review team adapted our own overall definition for promising practices. And those are emerging interventions that have preliminary evidence of effectiveness. And so do warrant further adoption and evaluation by the research community. Our definition is coming from the literature, but there are also promising practices definitions that have been established at the CDC, SWOT being one of them, and this was a SWIFT worksite assessment and translation evaluation. And they said their promising practices are strategies, interventions, or policies designed to affect individual health positively. And those were actually practices that were taken right from the field, and those were from successful worksite health promotion programs. So to be included in our review, worksite promising practices had to be delivered to employees by employers, and they had to demonstrate a weight outcome. So in those studies, the participants, had to be collections on weight in either kilograms or pounds, body mass index, or body fat percentage. And of course, those studies had to have an intervention that occurred at the worksite. And we define them as any place where people are employed and received a wage or salary for their labor. Those worksites could differ in size, so less than 50 employees to greater than 500 to 1,000 employees. The type could have been for-profit or for non-profit. It could have been done at different work schedules, so these employees could have been on rotating shifts or night shifts, and these work sites could differ in location, so multiple sites across the U.S. or internationally. And so our methods that we use. we did a systematic literature review, and using a very similar community guide methodology, we usually do definitions, a framework, and a criteria a priori before the review even starts. And this is because we just go through so many different studies. We started with 21,000 articles in our database and using our search terms. And after review, after excluding those articles that were not interventions or did not report a weight outcome, we ended up with 136 articles. And as I mentioned, we come up with a framework and a criteria. And we decided to look at three strategies of interest, and that was environmental and policy strategies, informational and educational, and behavioral strategies. And this is where our promising practices lie in each of these. Environmental and policy strategies, these focus on the impact in the entire workforce. So they impact the physical or organizational structure and through the development of public policies to support healthy behaviors for their employees. And they are more likely to be sustained for a longer period of time than individually oriented strategies. So our first promising practice was enhanced access to physical activity and health education. And when I say enhanced access, I'm talking about facilitating access to physical activity, either through programs, through building a gym downstairs, in the work site, offering free exercise facilities, so memberships to facilities across the street, and also even in this picture, enhancing appearance to stairwells and adding point of decision prompts, signs to urge your employees to take the stairs. We found five studies, and we had a median effect size of negative 3%. Our second strategy was informational and educational strategies. And those informational and educational strategies present just general health information to your workforce. And this just may include information about weight loss or maintenance, chronic disease prevention and risk reduction, or specific information on physical activity and nutrition. Our second promising practice was exercise prescriptions alone. And this involved a planned or structured physical activity regimen given to an individual or group. And so there was a specific recommendation on the frequency, the intensity, and type of exercise. And these studies usually had employees complete a physical fitness evaluation, and then they were placed in a program of moderate, mild, to vigorous intensity. We had about 14 studies in this promising practice with a median effect size of -4 pounds. Our third promising practice was multi-component educational practices, and we had about 25 studies in this promising practice. And what we found in these studies were the core component was a health education class. So there had to be a structured curriculum or a module. And in addition to these studies, there may have been an exercise component or a nutrition component or even just small media, printed materials or communications like brochures or pamphlets. And most of these studies either had a worksite program where Monday, Wednesday, and Friday there was a exercise class, and then on Tuesdays and Thursdays there was a health education class that you would attend. Behavioral strategies really focus interventions on providing that social support component and helping employees either both individual or in a group setting with the help of coworkers or family members. So a contingency, a plan, and there was goal setting where a counselor would set a goal of 1 to 2 pounds per week for that employee. And you know, there usually was either incentives or disincentives involved in these strategies. So in Promising Practice 4, we have found 16 studies that focused on weight loss competitions with incentives. And so these were team competitions, fitness challenges, and we had a median effect size of -6 pounds. And these employees at these work sites form teams, individual or group, and you know, they throw money in a pot where the team that reached the highest percentage of their goal won the pool of money. And so in Promising Practice 5, we have these behavioral interventions with incentives. And these practices taught behavioral management skills, modeling, development, and individual benchmarking. So that goal-setting component with a counselor or with a family or coworker. And these had incentives in them. And so these could have been in-kind or financial incentives. And the employee would attend, let's say, 10 30-minute behavioral change sessions at their lunch hour during their work hour, and then a monetary prize was given for participating in the treatment or completing the treatment. And so in our last Promising Practice, very similar to Promising Practice 5, we had behavioral interventions without incentives. And the only difference here, there were no incentives offered, and these practices still involve that counselor, that behavioral piece with goal setting, certain amount of pounds per week, and you know, we usually had many in these studies where the employee would go during their work hour or lunch hour to these lectures and set these goals, and we found about 47. The majority of our studies fell into this group, and we had 47 studies with a median effect size of negative 5 pounds. So in summary, we found 6 promising practices. We have an enhanced access to physical activity and health education, exercise prescription alone, multi-component educational practices, and then weight loss competitions with incentives and behavioral interventions with and without incentives. And of course, we had some limitations to our review. Potential publication bias and the fact we only took English-only articles. We also analyzed by weight outcomes. So we were limited on those studies. There may have been a great study out there that had a great worksite intervention, but if they didn't report a weight outcome, it was not included in our study. The strengths, however, though, is that we use the systematic review methodology by the community guide, which is very well known and very well tested. We also had a total of 136 studies in our review, and given that we included both before and after studies that may have a less suitable study design, we found that primarily these studies represent what is going on in the field and that they delve more into explaining those descriptive elements that we need to assess external validity. We also identified promising practices and research gaps. And in our research gaps, we found very few environmental policy or media strategies. You notice that after 21,000 articles, we only came up with 5 environmental and policy practices. And you know, given that this is a population-based approach in the environmental and policy strategy, it doesn't allow calculation for an average weight loss. Also, the majority of these studies did not report on these external validity elements, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, worksite size, the barriers and facilitators to implementing the intervention, as well as the resources. We did not know who, what was involved, who staffed these interventions, as well as the cost of the intervention. And so our next steps, we hope, is to successfully adopt and implement these promising practices in the real-world employer setting. And my colleague Beth will be talking about our Lean for Life website later on in the panel. And this is a free interactive website that we've developed that's going to help plan, build, and assess a worksite obesity prevention and control program at your worksite. And she'll talk about that later. I just want to acknowledge those from our division as well as those from the community guide and our partners. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Marilyn. Our next presentation is by Barbara Bennett, and she will be presenting improving employee diets through incentivized cafeteria pricing in rural North Carolina hospitals.